It's time to eat.
Get in my belly.
Sit down and get ready to consume an abundance of fantasy football knowledge from Ross Tucker and Evan Silva.
Me so hungry.
On the Fantasy Feast Eatin' Podcast.
Yeah, let's eat, baby. Week 13 in the National Football League. It is December 2nd. It is crunch time in fantasy football, whether that's your season-long team and you're heading into the playoff stretch here pretty soon, or you're playing daily fantasy and you're on a roll, or you need to get back on a roll after having a down week. Either way, we've got you covered. He is Evan Silva, the Roto World superstar, at Evan Silva. I don't think that there's a fantasy dude out there that puts more time into this than he does. If there is, I'd like to know who it is, because I talked to this guy. Trust me, he has no life. This is all he does. Nobody puts more time into this than him. The guy had pizza on Thanksgiving. The guy had pizza on Thanksgiving, okay? That is the standard for how much time you put into this. Evan, what's up, buddy?
What's up, man? It's good to be back. Looking forward to this week. We got every single team playing on Sunday and Monday, so it's going to be a jam-packed weekend.
Yeah, I think most people know this. I'm Ross Tucker, played 7 years in the NFL, 5 different teams, 9 different NFL head coaches, which makes me an expert in coaching, strategy, schemes, etc. And I try to help out when I can with the fantasy football knowledge like Evan does, especially the teams I get to see in person, Atlanta and Minnesota, this past weekend. I should point out, by the way, any way in which you guys can help this podcast is much appreciated, whether you just spread the word via social media or download it on multiple devices, iTunes, comments, whatever. But here's what I need to tell you. It's crunch time. It's do or die. All you need to do is forward one of our sponsor confirmations to me, Ross at RossTucker.com, with your question, and I will pose it, and Evan and I will both answer it. That could be the difference between you winning money or not. That could be the difference between you getting the bragging rights or not. So highly encourage you over the next couple of weeks, just forward me, Ross at RossTucker.com, any sponsor confirmation with your question. You do it Monday night, Monday afternoon, Tuesday morning. We will answer it that week before you need to set your lineup. So we've got you covered. By the way, speaking of having you covered, for people that took a quarterback late in their drafts, Evan, or not at all, and they've chosen to just stream each week, who do you have for them this week?
Yeah, or drafted Andrew Luck.
Yeah, good call. Or Peyton Manning.
Yeah, so I think it's an okay week for streaming quarterbacks. I think that the premier quarterback streamer this week is Jay Cutler against San Francisco, which San Francisco has played really solid defense at home this year and has just gotten smoked on the road. Like, they're allowing 16 points a game at home and 35 points a game on the road. Jay Cutler at home at Soldier Field. I already looked at the weather for the weekend here in Chicago, and looks like it's going to be solid. It's going to be like 40 degrees, you know, not raining or and you know, mild wind. So Jay Cutler as the top quarterback streamer. Also, like Mariota and Tannehill, both facing defenses that struggle to stop the pass but do stop the run. So they are forced to generate offense through the air. Mariota against the Jaguars. Jaguars, one of the best run defenses in the league. Don't bring a lot of pressure against the passer, and their secondary is pretty weak. So like him. And then Tannehill, his actual on-field performance last week against the Jets was totally different from what the fantasy stats show. He was probably had one of the bottom 10 quarterback performances in the league last week, but he was like a top 5 or 6 fantasy quarterback. But regardless of that, he's facing the Ravens, who just gave up a ton of yards and TDs to Austin Davis and Josh McCown on Monday night. They'll be playing on a short week. Like Tannehill and also like Kirk Cousins, who's been really solid at home this year, don't mind facing off with the Cowboys when they don't have Tony Romo, because they are less able to play keep away on offense. And Kirk Cousins, I think, will be a solid start in home games the rest of the way.
Very interesting. The Cutler one surprised me a little bit, coming off of what the Niners did defensively against Carson Palmer and the Arizona Cardinals. For him to be far and away your number one, that surprises me a little bit.
Okay, well, I mean, you know, I think that there is a big enough trend at this point that I think we should take it seriously, that the San Francisco defense is a totally different unit at home compared to away. I mean, they held Aaron Rodgers to 17 points at home. They held Arizona to 19 points. They've given up no fewer than 27 points in all five of their road games this year, and the 27 was given up to the Rams, who we know have one of the NFL's worst offenses. These are the point totals given up by San Francisco in road games this year.
So 47, weird.
43, 30, 29, 27.
No,
They've given up no more than 20 points in all their home games.
Yeah, it's bizarre. I don't feel like their home field advantage is that great. Absolutely bizarre. Hey, I mentioned earlier, by the way, Evan, before we get into the games, that people can forward me a sponsor confirmation. A great one to do this with is Stamps.com. Look, it's the holiday season, right? This is the last time you want to go to the post office. Traffic, parking. Can you even imagine? I mean, everybody's sending out their holiday gifts, packages. No, thank you. Do what I do when I'm sending autographed memorabilia out to the people that spread the word on the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. Go to Stamps.com. Right now, if you sign up for Stamps.com and use our promo code FANTASY for this special offer, it is a 4-week trial plus a $110 bonus offer, includes postage and a digital scale. Again, don't wait. Go to Stamps.com before you do anything else. Click on the microphone at the top of the homepage. Type in FANTASY. That's Stamps.com, FANTASY. Then when you get the email for the 4-week trial, forward that to Ross at RossTucker.com with your question for Evan, and we'll roll. Speaking of rolling, Bri.
Next meal.
The Lions are hosting the Packers, and this is one of the most fascinating matchups this week in my mind from a fantasy perspective. The Lions look pretty darn good offensively each week, getting better and better under Jim Bob, and the Packers went back to being pedestrian against the Bears, and the Lions' defense has been excellent. So what are you doing with Lacy and company? What are you doing with Stafford and the boys?
Yeah, and both of these teams had played really stout run defense recently. You remember the Packers, they shut down Adrian Peterson. They didn't give up much to the Bears on Thanksgiving. They've been playing really good run defense. The Lions have been playing lights out run defense since their bye. So I think that both of these teams will have to throw the ball to move it. It will be played indoors. Ford Field is a dome. The Vegas total on the game is 46.5. Actually, has come down from 47, but that's still a solid total. Packers favored by 3. I mean, Matthew Stafford has been one of the strongest quarterbacks in fantasy since week 6. It seems like the Lions have fixed some of their pass protection woes since Jim Bob Cooter took over. And, you know, they can't run the ball. So, you know, even if they build a lead, it's not like they can run the ball to, you know, grind out clock. They have still struggled to run the ball. So I like Stafford. You know, Calvin Johnson is balling again. Golden Tate has started to play much better recently. I think his matchup is kind of difficult with Casey Hayward in the slot. But, you know, with Eric Ebron not performing well and not really part of the passing offense as much anymore, Golden Tate, his targets have begun to rise. So I think he's a solid third receiver in fantasy. for the Packers, you know, Aaron Rodgers, we know that the passing game has been a struggle this season, and the matchups on the outside are not very good for the Packers. I mean, not just a couple weeks ago that Darius Slay held James Jones to a zero on two targets, and Nevin Lawson held Devonta Adams to 79 yards on 21 targets. So, you know, those wide receivers, I don't like their matchups, but again, this is Aaron Rodgers. I think that Randall Cobb should have a solid day in the slot. Richard Rodgers did score a touchdown when the Lions and Packers played a few weeks back. So, you know, I don't know. I hope that the Packers, after during their 10 days of rest between Thanksgiving and this game, were able to get some things worked out. I really think that getting Randall Cobb the football will be key to their success.
All right, let's move on.
Next meal.
So now we're looking at San Francisco, Chicago. You made it pretty clear how you feel about San Francisco's defense and Chicago's offense in this one, with Jay Cutler being your number one streaming option. What about the Niners offensively, who look better under Blaine Gabbert? I mean, can you believe, Evan, that 3 years ago they were in the Super Bowl, and now we're talking about the Blaine Gabbert-Sean Drone tandem? I mean, it's unbelievable,
yeah, it's,
right?
They have not done a great job of maintaining their talent. They've not done a good job of developing their talent. They've not done a good job of drafting, really. And that's always easy to say in hindsight, but I would say that it's pretty factual at this point. I mean, they thought that they were so good that they could go draft injured players. By the way, none of those injured players have worked out that they drafted. They're like 0-9. But, yeah, I mean, Gabbert has played better than people expected. He's still not a streamer to me, and I know that people look at the Bears defense and they think, it's not that good, and it's really not that good from a personnel standpoint. But they've played really good pass defense recently. You can read my column on Thursday for some stats on that. But they, since their bye week, they have been really strong in pass D. I mean, Tracy Porter and Kyle Fuller have really gotten it together at cornerback. Tracy Porter's playing really well. And, I mean, Vic Fangio is one of the better defensive coordinators in the league. So, even with Gabbert playing better than anyone expected, myself included, the 49ers still have not scored any more than 19 points in his three starts. Sean Drawn is a fantasy starter at this point. The Bears do still struggle in run defense. Got ripped up a little bit by Ronnie Hillman and C.J. Anderson in week 11. And then week 12, Eddie Lacy went for over 100 rushing yards against them. Sean Drawn played 100% of the 49ers offensive snaps last week. You don't see that from running backs. He has 20 touches in three straight games. Like his matchup, and he's going to be on the field, you know, the entire game. He also leads the Bears or the 49ers in targets since Blaine Gabbert took over at quarterback. Anquan Boldin has over 90 yards in back-to-back games, so he has been somewhat rejuvenated with Gabbert. I like his matchup. He runs most of his routes in the slot, and he'll deal with Bryce Callahan, an undrafted rookie slot corner who, when he came out of Rice, measured 5'9", 183. And this is Anquan Boldin. You know, this guy probably weighs, jeez, I mean, almost 240 pounds these days, I bet. And I like his matchup. Can't do anything with Torrey Smith. Vance McDonald has become kind of interesting for San Francisco. He's got a touchdown in back-to-back games. Blaine Gabbert has thrown to tight ends on 25% of his pass attempts so far. And if you're looking for a tight end streamer, I think that there are some better ones than Vance McDonald. But if you miss out on Scott Chandler, if you miss out on Jacob Tammy, Vance McDonald should be on your radar.
Well, speaking of tight end streamers and guys that should be on your radar, let's move on, Bri.
Next meal.
To the Seahawks and the Vikings. Good timing there with that comment, Evan, because number one, Jimmy Graham owners might need to know what the heck to do. The Seahawks signed Chase Kaufman, but Jimmy Graham owners might want to need to know what to do with the tight end position. And maybe in some of these leagues, they can pick up Kyle Rudolph. 19 targets the last 2 weeks, Evan. 13 catches, 159 yards. And most importantly, I talked to him on the field before the game Sunday, and he said, you know, Ross, people don't understand. Dude, he had last year, he had surgery, Evan, on both of his groins and both of his lower abdominal muscles, both sides. So he basically had like four surgeries, right? Because his hips were that bad. And he said he's really starting to feel better now. And I think he looks it, blocking when they get him the ball, you know, seems like Norv Turner's dialing him up a little bit more. And with the way Peterson is, he really should be open in the play action stuff. You know, they don't run a ton of stuff for the tight end. A lot of more of it's for Stephon Diggs, and obviously Peterson's the main guy. But I think Kyle Rudolph's a very good option for all the reasons I just mentioned.
Yeah, I agree. And Seattle has struggled to defend the tight end this year. We should mention from the Bears-San Francisco game, I should have mentioned this before, but Matt Forte and Jeremy Langford, even committee. Matt Forte played 38 snaps last week. I think he had 15 or 16 touches, was outplayed a little bit by Jeremy Langford. I mean, it's going to be an even timeshare. But I agree on Kyle Rudolph. His role has clearly increased. The way that you attack the Seahawks is via the tight end. I mean, we saw the Steelers trying to do that in this last game before Heath Miller got hurt. And then even after Heath Miller got hurt, I mean, Jesse James was involved. Kyle Rudolph, like you said, 19 targets over his last two games. I mean, I think that he leads the Vikings in receiving in this game. We probably see Richard Sherman on Stephon Diggs. Mike Wallace has goose egged three times in his last five games, so he's just not a factor. I'm with you on Kyle Rudolph. Adrian Peterson is running so hot right now. I know you look at the matchup, it's not ideal, but he's running so hot right now that, you know, you want to keep rolling him, obviously, in season-long leagues. And I think people will stay off of him in daily fantasy because they'll look at Seattle on paper and not use him. So I like Adrian Peterson as a sort of contrarian play in DFS this week as well.
Interesting. What about the Seahawks offensively? Russell Wilson's starting to heat up a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. And he has done that against San Francisco and Pittsburgh, which neither has, you know, a strong pass D. The Vikings do have a strong pass D. So I think that, I mean, he's playing well enough at this point that I think that you can roll him out as a lower-end starter in a season-long league. But I think he would be a point-chasing pick in daily fantasy. You know, Doug Baldwin has a difficult matchup with Captain Munnerlyn in the slot. They did lose Jimmy Graham, who has not been a huge, I mean, he hasn't been huge in fantasy, but he's been pretty efficient. Like when they do target him, I mean, he's made plays. And then I don't know. I don't see this as a high scoring game. I mean, the total on the game is 41.5, which is tied for the lowest of the week. I like Thomas Rawls from Seattle. I think that you can get after the Vikings on the ground. They gave up 100 yards rushing to Eddie Lacy in week 11, and then last week Tevin Coleman went over 100 yards against them as well. So I like Thomas Rawls as the strongest play for the Seahawks.
All right, let's keep it rolling.
Next meal.
That was some added value there, right, with Kyle Rudolph. Added value, right? Am I right, Evan?
Yeah. And we should also mention that Luke Wilson will most likely replace Jimmy Graham as the Seahawks tight end. You know, Luke Wilson is probably not as good as Jimmy Graham, and Jimmy Graham wasn't exactly lighting it up in fantasy. So your expectations should probably be a little bit limited for Luke Wilson.
We got the battle in New York. It's the Jets and the Giants. This is the NFC Fantasy Feast. We will record the AFC one immediately after this and post it shortly after midnight so that your podcast apps don't freak out about two podcasts on the same day. Oh, my gosh. For the Giants, I guess, is there someone on the team worth talking about other than Odell Beckham Jr.? I mean, Reuben Randle, maybe?
No, I mean, literally no. I mean, Reuben Randle looks like he may start losing snaps to Hakeem Nicks. I mean, Dwayne Harris has, you know, there have been some games where he has had a big game and then he'll disappear the very next game. I mean, you know, just not trustworthy. If the Jets do not have Darrell Revis, I will like Eli Manning this week. I don't think a lot of people will look at him because, you know, he threw three interceptions in Washington last week. This doesn't look like a great matchup on paper. But if there's no Revis, you know, I think that Eli Odell Beckham as a stack will be very much in play in daily fantasy. But I do want to know about Revis. I think that will be the determining factor. And I know that a lot of people are like, oh, well, Revis is done. Revis isn't done. He's not as good as he used to be, probably. But I think he does make a big difference for their defense in general. I think they feel more comfortable playing aggressively with Darrell Revis out there.
All right, let's keep it rolling.
Next meal.
Arizona is in St. Louis. Chris Johnson, IR designated for return. Does that mean you are all in on David Johnson?
Pretty much. I mean, he's going to be getting 20, maybe more touches a game in the NFL's number one offense. And the Rams defense at this point really doesn't scare me. They have four sacks over their last four games. You know, they're people or some running backs have had big games against them recently. They just have really faded. I mean, maybe they'll get up for this game, a division game, at home. But, you know, I like to bet on running backs that are getting the ball, probably going to get the ball 18 to 22 times in the NFL's best offense. The Rams also have allowed the fourth most receptions to running backs. If you remember, we were analyzing David Johnson coming out of college. Didn't love him as a runner, but he was one of the best pass catching backs in this year's draft. I mean, difference maker as a receiver. He has touched the ball only 54 times on offense this year, and he scored 7 touchdowns. He's 224 pounds, so he's going to get the ball at the goal line. Yeah, he could be a league winner down the stretch, especially in PPR leagues. Carson Palmer, every week fantasy starter. I know he didn't rip it up last week against San Francisco. We discussed how much better their defense has been at home this year. But St. Louis, you know, Andy Dalton had a big game against them. Jay Cutler had a big game against them. Joe Flacco threw for almost 300 yards against them. They don't scare me at this point. Larry Fitzgerald, when these teams played in week 4, he had 7 catches for 99 yards. The Cardinals got him matched up with linebackers Mark Barron and Their slot corner, the Rams slot corner, is super small guy, LaMarcus Joyner. So really like Fitzgerald. Again, he's got double-digit targets in four straight games. John Brown, his hamstring finally starting to come around. Caught a 48-yard bomb last week. Also had a touchdown taken off the board last week because he just barely stepped out of bounds, on the route before he caught the TD. So I like John Brown, like Larry Fitzgerald. Not ready to trust Michael Floyd yet. Coming off a two-target game, he's been dealing with that hamstring injury.
As for the Rams, I know the only guy to talk about is Gurley, but my question is with Gurley, I mean, depending on what other options people have, I don't know. I know he's still putting up decent fantasy numbers, but I don't know. I mean, is it in your mind, I guess it depends on who else you have, but still got to go Gurley, I guess, just because he's the focal point of the offense?
Yeah, it's been rough for sure, and it may remain rough. I mean, they have a bad O-line. These are the things that we feared, that I feared before the season. They have a bad O-line. They have a bad offense, period. They have a bad quarterback. And they get tough matchups. I mean, the Cardinals are not a pushover run defense by any means. The thing is that Todd Gurley is probably going to get at least 17 touches, and he could get, upwards of 28. And you don't want to leave that on your bench. It's very possible that the Rams show up in this game. I mean, I like Carson Palmer. I like David Johnson. But if the Rams are going to show up one more time before the season ends, this would be the spot to do it. Division game at home. I think you got to keep rolling Todd Gurley.
All right, let's keep rolling ourselves.
Next meal.
We travel to Tampa, where the Bucs, coming off a disappointing second half at least against the Colts, take on the Falcons, who were just disappointing all around on Sunday. You know, Tevin Coleman has some legit wheels, Evan. He really does. Mm-hmm. But he cannot break a tackle really to save his life. And he doesn't have tremendous lateral agility. You know, you don't see a lot of jump cuts. I can see why Shanahan liked him, because, you know, if he puts his foot in the ground and hits it up in there, he can really, I mean, he's fast. He just doesn't seem like he breaks those arm tackles. There's a visible difference between him and Devontae Freeman, and Matt Ryan inexplicably is throwing some really highly questionable interceptions. It's bad right now.
Yeah, it is bad. I mean, it is. The thing is that everybody knows that. Everybody knows that. And this is a great matchup for Atlanta's offense. I like them to bounce back this week. And I think that they are an intriguing contrarian target in daily fantasy. I think Matt Ryan plays well. Matt Ryan, in his last three games against Lovie Smith, since Lovie Smith took over as the Bucs head coach, he's completed 78% of his passes in those three games, over 9 yards per attempt, 6-1 touchdown interception ratio. Earlier this year, it was in week 8, Ryan threw for 397 yards and 2 touchdowns against the Bucs. So I'm with you. I was watching that game on Sunday, and it was very frustrating because I had Julio Jones in a lot of my daily fantasy lineups. And, here Matt Ryan is throwing back-breaking interceptions in the red zone. I mean, that's very, very frustrating. But I'm going to use Matt Ryan in daily fantasy this week. I'm going to put him in some lineups with Julio Jones. And if Leonard Hankerson doesn't play, I'm going to use Jacob Tammy as well. Jacob Tammy has been, he is the possession receiver when Leonard Hankerson is out. And my guess right now is that we don't see Leonard Hankerson. So Jacob Tammy, again, a really strong tight end streamer. One thing to mention is that the Falcons fully expect Devonta Freeman back. And, like you mentioned, the flaws on Tevin Coleman. I mean, giving the ball to the other team. You know, he was targeted twice last week and dropped them both. Although Anthony Barr did make a nice play on the second one. But I mean, you know, Tevin Coleman should have had that. And they actually pulled him in a lot of passing situations for Teron Ward. So I fully expect Devonta Freeman back to be, you know, be playing almost 90% of the Falcons snaps and getting over 20 touches, immediate high-end RB1 in fantasy.
All right. What about the Bucs on their end of it? It was big first half for seemingly everybody, and then the second half they came crashing down to earth.
Yeah, you know, I think that the 5-touchdown game for Jameis Winston was a mirage against Philadelphia. And you know, that is not to say that Jameis Winston has been having a poor rookie year. He's been having a really solid rookie year. He may be the NFL rookie, offensive rookie of the year, but he hasn't been good in fantasy. I mean, they run the ball a lot. They do have good weapons, but there's not a lot of volume in their passing offense. They do that on purpose. And Jameis Winston, to me, is not a strong streamer. I do like Mike Evans in this game, though. Vincent Jackson, where he primarily lines up, he will end up running routes at Desmond Trufant, who has been a true shutdown cornerback this year. I mean, there are games when the offense doesn't even throw the ball his way at all. And Mike Evans runs more of his routes against on the side where Jalen Collins, the Falcons rookie, lines up. So I do like Mike Evans. No idea on Austin Seferian Jenkins, but you know, at this point, we should just kind of be surprised if he plays.
All right, let's keep it moving.
Next meal.
We've got the Philadelphia Eagles in New England to take on the Patriots. Who knows what Sam Bradford's status is as we record this right now. They're playing a pretty darn good New England defense, although the Broncos did have some success running the ball against them. I mean, what are you telling people that own the Jordan Matthews, DeMarco Murrays of the world right now?
I expect Jordan Matthews to be covered by Malcolm Butler. Malcolm Butler has been the Patriots' slot cover guy when they go against wide receivers that are somewhat dangerous in the slot. So, and I don't like that matchup for Jordan Matthews, who already has a tendency to disappear. We don't know who the quarterback is going to be. We do know that the Eagles quarterbacks have combined for the second most interceptions in the league this year with 14. So, like the Patriots defense, I mean, I don't like anybody on the Eagles. Even DeMarco Murray, a guy who should be a workhorse back, he has been flopping and diving and sliding. And the game flow is going to crush him. You know, the Patriots coming off a narrow road loss against Denver, coming back home to play a team that has given up. You know, I would feel worried if I had to start anybody on the Eagles this week.
Totally agree. And I don't think any of them are good daily plays either at DraftKings.com, which we all know is America's favorite one-week fantasy football league. You play where you want, when you want, with the players you want. If you haven't tried it now, you're very familiar with fantasy football. You've been listening to us all year, most of you at least. You've got a season-long team. Now is a great time to try daily fantasy at DraftKings.com. You can play in any type of league you want. Basically, just pick your contest, draft your players, and collect your winnings. You can put as much or as little money as you want. Speaking of as little money as you want, if you're hurried to DraftKings.com now, you can potentially even get a life-changing payday if you use the promo code FEAST and play for free with your first deposit in Sunday's $1 million fantasy football contest. First place takes home $100,000. Enter FEAST for free entry now at DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com. Next game.
Next meal.
It is Carolina in New Orleans to take on the Saints. The Saints offense, that was about as bad as I think the Saints offense has ever been on Sunday against the Texans.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, the Saints in the offseason, I think they might need to blow it up, blow up that roster. Cam Newton will be very, very popular this week. I mean, very popular. And he's really, really expensive in daily fantasy too. But, you know, it makes all the sense in the world to keep trying to target, you know, the New Orleans defense. You get to use these guys in a dome. The total on the game is 49.5, which is the biggest of the week. So Cam Newton will be the chalk in daily fantasy this week, as will Greg Olsen. The Saints have just gotten slaughtered by tight ends. Even Ryan Griffin came out of nowhere last week for a big game. Actually, I always kind of liked Ryan Griffin. Good athlete, came out of UConn. And it was good to see him, you know, capitalizing on his opportunity. But, and with Corey/Philly Brown coming back from injury, that is a concern for Devin Funchess. I don't think that you can use Devin Funchess. Jonathan Stewart, you know, the workloads have been there. He hasn't been tearing it up in fantasy, but he gets 20 touches every single game. And, you know, you should be able to use him with confidence against New Orleans, which, you know, gave up a bunch of yards and a touchdown to Alfred Blue last week. Jonathan Stewart is better than any of the Texans running backs, and they went for like almost 150 rushing yards. New Orleans on their side, I mean, I think that Brandon Cooks will be shadowed by Josh Norman. Josh Norman does not move into the slot, and Brandon Cooks does play 30% of his snaps there. But, you know, I would have very limited expectations for Brandon Cooks. Like, I don't think he's going to hit any big plays against Josh Norman. That could open up, you know, a little bit for Ben Watson, who actually led the Saints in targets against Houston. But I don't like the matchup of Ben Watson against, you know, the Panthers linebackers who have a lot of speed. So I'm kind of looking at Willie Snead and not a whole lot else for the Saints. The good news for Drew Brees is that he's been much better at home. But, I mean, I don't like the matchups for his receivers. The Panthers have allowed one top 12 fantasy quarterback all season. That was Aaron Rodgers, you know, like a month ago. You know, Drew Brees, I think it's going to be a struggle even at home for Drew Brees. The Panthers have the best pass defense in the league.
All right, let's keep rolling.
Next meal.
Last but not least, I will be there Monday night on the sideline for Westwood One. It's the Redskins hosting the Matt Castle-led Cowboys. Let's start with the Redskins. Kirk Cousins has been on fire. You already said that he's a good streaming candidate, especially in home games. What about Alfred Morris, who still hasn't scored a touchdown? What about Matt Jones? What about DeSean Jackson in this game?
Yeah, Matt Jones playing time cut due to fumbles. Alfred Morris, he got a bunch of carries last week, but like you mentioned, zero TDs on the season, you know, averaging 3.5 yards per carry. I just let's just write off the Redskins running backs until further notice. Kirk Cousins, his last four starts at home, he's finished as the overall quarterback 11 in fantasy, the overall quarterback 1 in fantasy, the overall quarterback 1 in fantasy, and the overall quarterback 5 in fantasy. So that's really strong. His touchdown interception ratio is at home is 11-2 with a 75% completion rate. On the road, 5 touchdowns and 8 interceptions, 62% completion rate. So like Kirk Cousins as a streamer. I also like, I mean, I just like the Washington passing game in general. I like Jordan Reed. DeSean Jackson is making big plays again. I mean, you can't really consider Pierre Garçon because he hasn't been productive since DeSean Jackson returned, and save for Jamison Crowder. But you know, these guys are solid options for Kirk Cousins, and they improve Kirk Cousins' fantasy outlook. On Dallas's side, you know, we know that they're going to try to run the ball with Darren McFadden. The passing game loses a lot of life without Tony Romo and Matt Castle in there. Dez Bryant is going to be up and down. I mean, he's going to be really up and down with Matt Castle. The stat lines of Dez Bryant through Matt Castle's three starts are 2 catches for 12 yards, 5 catches for 104 yards and a touchdown, and then 5 catches for 45 yards. So, you know, not strong numbers there. Witten offers you very limited upside, but he will probably get you 5 or 6 catches. So if that's what you're looking for, you know, that makes sense. Cole Beasley had one monster game with Matt Castle. And then when Matt Castle went in on Thanksgiving, Matt Castle threw him a touchdown, but the stat lines for Cole Beasley are 9 catches for 112 and 2 touchdowns against the Eagles, who at this point we know have kind of called it a year. And then Cole Beasley went 0-0 and 0-0 in 2 other Matt Castle starts, and then went 1 catch for 8 yards in the fourth one. So, you know, I know that we've seen on national television Cole Beasley have some big moments with Matt Castle, but the bigger sample suggests that Cole Beasley is not trustworthy in fantasy this week. So Dez Bryant, I would just look at him as an entirely boomer bust option. He does have a good matchup against Washington. Darren McFadden gives you a floor because he gets a lot of work. And then if you're just looking for some catches, tight end Jason Witten should help you.
Nice. Well, that'll do it for the NFC Fantasy Feast podcast. But we're not done. We're going to record the AFC Fantasy Feast for your guys' enjoyment tomorrow. Right now, I think we're done here.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Feast podcast. Make sure to also subscribe to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Even Money, and the College Draft Podcast, all available on iTunes at rostucker.com or wherever podcasts can be found.